I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
From the Viking Age comes a legend.
Wow, look at this!
Of a crystal with mysterious powers.
Look at that. That's amazing.
But is the magic real?
Yes! You ready?
My name is Josh Gates. With a degree in archaeology and a passion for exploration, I have a tendency to end up in some very strange situations.
There has gotta be a better way to make a living.
My travels have taken me to the ends of the earth as I investigate the greatest legends in history.
We're good to fly. Let's go.
This is Expedition Unknown. The Vikings. 1,000 years after their reign, they still have a terrifying reputation. In popular culture, they're portrayed as axe-wielding marauders who pillaged their way across Europe. But the Vikings were also maritime masters. They managed to navigate deadly waters to establish remote colonies across Europe, in Greenland, Iceland, and, sorry Columbus, maybe even North America. And they did it all hundreds of years before the use of the magnetic compass. How? What gave the Vikings such an edge? According to ancient sagas, the great Viking king Olaf possessed a sunstone, a magical crystal with unique powers, which allowed his people to navigate by the sun, even when it was hidden by clouds or below the horizon. But were these magic crystals real? No one has ever found one. That is, until now. Recently, a mysterious crystal was discovered on board a shipwreck in England, and it has ignited a fierce debate that has some scientists believing the power of the sunstone might be real after all. I've been fascinated by the Vikings since I was just a kid. And this new discovery could change the way we think about them forever. Did they conquer the seas with a magic crystal? I'm excited and determined to find out. To find the truth behind the Viking sunstone, I'm going to the only place in the world where one of them may have been found, the British island of Alderney. I've already crossed the Atlantic and made it to England. Now, I just need to fly to the island aboard whatever this is.
What in the holy hell is this thing?
This, it turns out, is the Britton-Norman Trilander, which is named for the third engine which is bizarrely attached to the plane's stabilizer fin.
I've been on some kooky planes before, but this takes the cake.
On board, the headroom is a little tight for a guy my size, but hey, at least it's a short flight. In no time at all, we cross the English Channel and touch down on the tiny island.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Alderney.
Oh man, we
hope there's a chiropractor on this island.
The one benefit of flying on a plane with 18 seats is that the baggage claim is pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Well, that was easy.
So, a bit of geography. You go about 8 miles that way, you run into France and the beaches of Normandy. 60 miles that way, south coast of England. And out here in the Atlantic, the very tiny island of Alderney. It's only about 3.5 miles long, has less than 2,000 residents, and on face value seems like a weird place to look for a Viking artifact. But that's the thing about Alderney. This island is full of surprises. There are remains of Roman walls from the 4th century, Victorian-era forts built by the British in case the French decided to show up, and Nazi forts built by the Germans who did show up. In fact, this is the only part of England occupied during World War II. Today, though, it's just a sleepy little island. So why am I here? Well, recently, an unusual crystal was discovered in a shipwreck just offshore. Archaeologists believe this may be the first Viking sunstone ever recovered. The islanders have been all too happy to capitalize on the find, with a Viking-themed mural and even a shop on the main street that sells sunstone memorabilia.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Look at this, the Viking sunstone, right there. That's it.
You've got it.
I found it. Who knew it would be available here for sale? Incredible. Now, it's very small. Do you think that I could actually use this to find land?
If it doesn't work, bring it back. And we'll give you your money back.
Sure, but if it doesn't work, I'm going to be lost at sea, so it's going to be very difficult for me to return this.
Well, I knew that. I hope you didn't.
Okay, they may not be actual Viking sunstones, but that won't stop me from getting a jump on my Christmas shopping.
I'm literally going to go bankrupt in this one store.
I've got a little time before my next meeting, so I decide to grab a beer at the promisingly named Diver's Pub.
I'll have a Guinness, please.
Yes, certainly.
I haven't even started drinking yet, but I'm pretty sure that that's a dog at the bar. Does he come in a lot?
Yeah, regular customer, likes his ale.
Good tipper?
Yep, good tipper.
Great.
After a pint, I stroll over to the Alderney Maritime Museum, where I meet with trustee Mike Harrison. Amidst the impressive collection are the remains of a 16th century English warship that was discovered just offshore.
How many Elizabethan-era warships have been found in British waters?
None. This is the only one.
So a very significant wreck in its own right, but how do we tie it to the Vikings?
The connection to the Vikings is this extraordinary crystal that was found on the wreck site.
Look at that.
Quite close to a pair of navigational dividers. And it wasn't until sometime later that people began to wonder whether it could possibly have been a Viking sunstone.
According to the legend, the Viking King Olaf used the sunstone in dark weather, where it revealed the position of the sun. But he had to look through the clear crystal, so if this was once a sunstone, it's seen better days.
Not very clear, though, anymore.
No, it's very cloudy. It's been worked on by the salts in seawater.
Do you think there are other artifacts down in the wreck? Could there be other crystals down in the wreck, you think?
There are undoubtedly many other artifacts, but the only way to find out is to go on exploring.
I head down to the harbor to meet with commercial diver Mark Trowell. Mark has agreed to let me join him on a mission to explore the wreck for other Viking artifacts, and maybe even a better preserved sunstone.
This constitutes kind of a sunny day here, right?
Yeah.
England?
It's boiling today. We'll be in our t-shirts and thongs before you know it.
Along with the cold, this dive is extremely dangerous for another reason. The tides here run at nearly 15 knots, and fierce currents rip over the wreck for most of the day.
We've got only 2 slacks a day.
You mean you only have a short window in terms of the tides?
Yeah, absolutely.
The only times to dive here are during the slack tides, the brief windows between tidal changes where the water is relatively still.
How big is that window?
We've got 30 minutes.
30 minutes, wow. So pretty tight window.
After arriving at the dive boat, we suit up as quickly as possible. We can't afford to miss the dive window, and we won't have much time to explore the bottom.
Okay, let's go diving.
Our mission is to attempt to relocate the wreck and look for a less clouded crystal. After all, without a clear sunstone to examine, we'll never know if the legend is true.
No sign of the bottom yet. It just drops off into darkness.
With almost no visibility, we need to stay close to the dive line and each other. An experienced diver died on this wreck just last year.
I can see the bottom coming up. Okay, we are at the bottom.
Just keep your eyes open and stay together, please.
By the time we reach the bottom, there are only 15 minutes left before the tides begin to turn. We've got no time to lose.
Fairly featureless, very sandy bottom. Few bits of rock popping up here and there.
At the moment, we can't hardly see anything, really.
Then, out of the darkness, I see something incredible. The actual remains of an English cannon from a 16th century warship.
Absolutely beautiful. You can see it. I mean, it's just clear as day, just sitting on the bottom.
Come over here, Josh. I think I found another timber.
Been down here for more than 400 years. Looks like it was dropped down here yesterday.
The shifting sands may reveal never-before-seen sections of the wreck, and we quickly advance to the area where the crystal was recently found.
We've got about 10 minutes left, Josh. Let's start making our way back.
We've had little time to explore, and it's already time to ascend.
Follow me.
Ooh, look at that! Look at that! Incredible!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm deep beneath the surface of the English Channel, exploring the sunken wreck of a 16th century warship. A crystal that some believe was a mystical Viking sunstone was discovered here, but it's damaged. I'm looking for another one. Unfortunately, the tides are shifting and time is running out.
Okay, Josh, we've got about 5 minutes left. We need to get out before that tide starts moving, otherwise we're going to get washed away.
Copy that.
Follow me.
Whoa, I see something. Look at that! We got something down here!
I see something sticking out of the sand and examine it in the hopes that it might be a clue.
There's something loose here. Maybe a piece of metal. Could be a sword blade or something off the ship. No sign of any other crystals down here, Mark.
The debris appears to be iron from the wreckage, which, while historically important, isn't the crystal I'm looking for.
We've got very little time left.
I'd like to stay longer, but we need to ascend now before the tidal current shifts. Just as the current begins to pick up, we break the surface and arrive safely back at the stern of the boat.
Absolutely amazing to see a wreck down there that old. Still see timbers from the deck of the boat. Absolutely incredible. No Viking sunstones, but that's okay. Pretty amazing in and of itself.
The hunt continues. There may be one other sunstone in the world, the original one mentioned in the legend. To find it, I'll need to travel to the Viking homeland. I jet from the English Isle of Alderney to Trondheim, Norway, the former capital of the Viking world. Founded in the year 997 as a trading outpost, Trondheim rose to become the seat of the great Viking kings. But now, a millennium later, it's pretty darn serene around here. University students, cobblestone streets, stunning coastal waterways. It's positively, well, perfect. I haven't eaten since I was in England, so I pop into a local cafe for my first taste of Norwegian cuisine.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
Look at this.
Yes.
This looks amazing.
This is a lot of different herrings.
So this is herring?
Yes.
And this is herring?
And yes.
It's all herring?
Yes, it is.
It's all herring. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay, let's try herring and curry. Fishy. This is herring with blueberries here. That is herring with pickles. This here is a herring salad.
Along with the herring is a plate of rakfisk, a local delicacy consisting of fish that's been buried in the ground to ferment for a few months.
This is rotten fish. Got it. Okay, here we go. Boy. Oh yeah, that's a piece of rotten fish right there. That is a piece of rotten old dead fish. That didn't taste like something that really should be in my mouth, if I'm being honest. Okay, that's it. I'm ready for dessert, which I assume is herring.
Having had my fill of rotted fish, it's time to get back on the case. Since I struck out finding a clear sunstone in England, perhaps I can get my hands on the original, which, according to legend, was in the hands of the Viking king Olaf. Olaf united much of Norway in the 11th century through a series of daring battles, using the mystical sunstone to guide his forces in dark or stormy weather. Olaf is also famous for having brought Christianity to Norway, and it's alive and well at the soaring Nidros Cathedral. This is the northernmost medieval church in the world. Construction began over 1,000 years ago, and it hasn't stopped since. Olaf is believed to be buried somewhere under the massive cathedral, possibly with his sacred sunstone.
Hello.
Hello, so nice to meet you.
I'm meeting with church official Ingrid Vindenes to learn more about St. Olaf's final resting place.
Where exactly is he buried?
Actually, we don't know today. It's still a mystery. Somewhere in the building, we know that for a fact.
Okay, so we're close.
Yeah, we are close, but we can't find him because there's so many graves under the floor here. But we have some theories where he could be buried.
Would it be possible to see the place that you think he's buried?
Of course.
Yeah?
Let me show you.
Oh, let's go.
As impressive as the cathedral is above ground, there's a whole other world beneath my feet.
All right, lead on. Spooky.
Here, in the seemingly endless catacombs, there are thousands of burials spanning a millennia.
It's like a maze down here.
It is. It's like a labyrinth. You have little tunnels in every direction.
There's no telling what might be lurking in these tunnels, and just around the next corner, I get a terrifying surprise.
Look at this! Wow!
My quest to find out the truth about the legendary Viking sunstone leads to deep catacombs beneath a cathedral in Norway. The Viking king St. Olaf may have been buried down here with this magic crystal. But before we can reach his tomb, we run into something else.
Wow, look at this! Amazing. I wasn't actually expecting to see skeletons down here.
No, we didn't either, actually, but we found this just a couple of years ago.
But we're certain that this isn't Olaf.
Very certain it isn't Olaf, because we have the skeleton of St. Olaf's half-brother, so we have compared some DNA just to be sure. We think he was a warrior, and he was buried by the entrance of the cathedral, which meant that he was very important.
He's in remarkable shape.
Except his head.
But look at his teeth.
Yes.
This guy has better teeth than I do. Really. Somewhere there is lost to history an amazing Viking orthodontist.
Oh, many of them, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe many. Okay, so how far from here to where we think Olaf is?
We have to go a bit further inside the tunnels.
Of course we do.
Of course we do.
All right, lead on.
No, please.
A pitch black crypt full of skeletons? What's to be scared of? Please, you go first, though.
In the farthest corner of the catacombs, we finally arrive at the resting place of the Viking king.
So, this is it.
Wow. Amazing. So this may be the tomb of Saint Olaf.
Yes.
But there are thousands of skeletons entombed down here, and since the church isn't certain exactly where Olaf is buried, they've decided not to disturb any of the graves. To know that we may be only inches away from the famed Viking king is both exhilarating and frustrating.
All right, well, if this is the grave of Olaf, then Olaf, great to meet you. We're off.
Unable to open Olaf's grave, I may be out of luck finding an ancient working sunstone. But new evidence suggests I might be able to make one. To continue my investigation, I'm making the 400-mile drive to the modern capital of Oslo. This used to be known as the King's Road. For hundreds of years, people traveled this route to visit King Olaf's final resting place.
All right, welcome to Oslo.
Situated along the stunning Oslo Fjord, this place is a seemingly impossible fusion of pristine nature that somehow coexists alongside a cosmopolitan city.
Here's your quick starter kit for Norway. You're thinking about moving here? Here's what you need to know. It's beautiful. It's rustic. It is incredibly clean and safe. And also, it is unbelievably expensive. Gas here is about $9 a gallon. They pay about 50% taxes and have a 25% sales tax, but you get free healthcare, you get free education, free daycare, good pensions, and as much reindeer meat as you can eat. What's that?
This is reindeer sausage.
Reindeer sausage.
Yes. It's very, very nice.
Reindeer sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
100%.
There's a whole last verse to that Rudolph song that I never knew about. He's delicious.
Oslo may be hip and chic, but its Viking seafarer heritage is everywhere. This is the gateway to the North Sea, where Norwegian drilling rigs reign supreme. Oslo is also home to the Fram, the vessel that brought Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen on his historic journey to the South Pole, as well as Kon-Tiki, the raft that carried adventurer and my fellow Explorers Club member, Thor Heyerdahl, on his voyage across the Pacific Ocean. At the nearby Viking Ship Museum, it's clear where Norwegians got their nautical skills. This is the Oseberg ship. Built in 820 AD, it is the oldest intact Viking vessel ever found. And it is a thing of pure awesomeness. I mean, just look at this thing. The craftsmanship is nothing short of astounding, and clearly built to last. I'm here to meet with archaeologist Jan Bill to hear about a new theory that may prove that the sunstone was real.
It's really hundreds of years after the Viking Age when the magnetic compass becomes widely used.
Yeah.
Do you think that the legend of the sunstone is real?
Well, I think that it's much more than a legend. The practical value of that out on sea would be terrific.
Jan tells me that analysis of the crystal found in the Alderney shipwreck has shown that it is a rare form of calcite, a crystal that refracts light in a very unique way. Some experts are now arguing that the sunstone's legendary magic may be based in science, but it's never been proven in the field.
I don't think that it has actually been employed today for navigation.
I'd like to test the theory myself, but since I don't have an ancient sunstone, I'll need something else, a brand new one. But it won't be easy. I'm going to need a very large and very pure piece of calcite. To find it, Jan directs me to an old mine outside of Oslo near the city of Kongsberg. The mine has long been out of operation, but it is still rich in mineral deposits. After driving along lonely Norwegian backroads until well after sunset, I finally arrive. I'm meeting with Christian Berg, who, based on his getup, knows something about mining.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you Christian?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Josh.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
So I was told that you are a man in the know when it comes to calcite.
Yeah, I can find some.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
An average of 20 miners died every year of its construction, and it contains more than 37 miles of tunnels, something I'm trying not to think about as we head deeper under the mountain, until at last we reach the end of the line. I'm hundreds of feet down in a centuries-old mine in Norway, looking for a clear sample of calcite crystal, to prove that the Viking sunstone really works. The tracks come to a dead end, but we've got farther to go.
And now we're on foot.
Yeah.
My guide and mining expert, Christian, is taking me to normally off-limits areas to look for calcite deposits. Just as I'm trying to figure out how long it will take to descend on foot, we come across something I have never seen before.
Wait, what is this thing?
This is an elevator from 1881.
That's an elevator?
Yeah.
And when did it stop working?
It's still running.
This works?
Yeah.
Shut up. Okay, I don't really get how it works. Where's the elevator section?
This is the elevator. You have to stand on the platform.
You stand on the platform?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
You hold on here,
yeah.
And the platform goes down.
Yeah, and you switch.
And then you switch to the next platform?
Yeah.
And then that goes down?
Yeah.
I see. No, you're a little confused. This is not an elevator. This is a video game.
Okay.
And how far down does it go?
900 feet.
What happens if you slip? You fall 900 feet.
You don't do that.
You don't do that. Great.
Now.
See you at the bottom.
Yeah. Have a nice ride.
And we're off. Cue the elevator music.
This is insane. Transferring?
After a very focused ride deeper into the mine, Christian and I finally get off on our floor.
That's amazing.
We hike on into the darkness, and before long, we come to our next hurdle.
Whoa, okay.
Now we have to climb.
Come on, you don't have like another kooky elevator?
No.
Norwegians are officially the most nonchalant people I have ever met. But their laid-back reaction to what looks like certain death is somewhat confidence-inspiring.
Okay.
Christian breaks out his climbing gear, and we suit up for a descent to the next level.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, you really just gotta jump right off this thing, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh boy, that's a little freaky. It's gotta be an easier way. Can't I just go to like a gem shop or something?
As I step into the darkness, I realize I haven't a clue how far down the drop is or how stable the walls are.
Passing by these old timbers, which don't look particularly secure. Okay, tucking under, looks like an old support beam here. Kind of a tight squeeze. I can see the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down.
Was it okay?
Was it okay? It was great. I think I peed my pants a little, but it was okay.
That was a long way down.
Okay. You came down that a little faster than I did.
Yeah.
Okay, lead on, let's go.
We are now over 1,000 feet below the Earth's surface. There is no light here of any kind, and we're exploring passages that were carved hundreds of years ago. The silence and cold are eerie. I'm lost in my thoughts when suddenly Christian spots something.
Hey, Josh.
What do you have?
You have to see this. It's a big vein. Calcite.
Oh, lots of calcite. Look at that.
Big one. Big crystals right there. See that?
Not all calcite is clear, but there are samples here that look absolutely perfect.
Okay, Christian, we need a good clear piece. Okay, let's start chipping. And how do you know when you're chipping away at rock that the whole thing's not gonna fall down on you?
Pure luck.
I don't think that's true. I hope that's not true.
Oh, that's a good piece. Ooh. See that? That's perfect. That's exactly what we need.
Let's see if we can get that out of there without splitting it. Good.
If we could just get behind it, we can try to crack it off on the back.
Oh, there we go. Got it. Look at that. We got it. Look at that. That could be a Viking sunstone right there. Christian, nice work.
Now, we just have to casually make our way back out of the mine so I can figure out how I'm going to test it. Back above ground, I make the trip back to Oslo to meet with Dr. Balazs Bernath, an expert in light polarization that has been studying the sunstone. He believes the sunstone might actually work.
What is it about this particular crystal that makes it so special?
It creates two images of a single ray.
In theory, the Vikings could have prepared the stone by adding an arrow pointing along the width of the crystal, and then partially covering the rest of it to create a wide slit. But because calcite splits light, you'd see two slits on the other side.
And so how does that, in theory, help you navigate?
One of the pictures will be fainter, the other will be stronger. If you orientate your crystal in a way that you see them to be equal, then you have a reference from which you can say the sun is that way.
It's a startlingly simple idea. Find the angle where the two double images look the same, and bingo, your arrow is pointing to the hidden sun, even if it's below the horizon. However, you'd need more information than that to truly navigate.
The sunstone potentially could show you the location of the sun, but it can't really show you north, south, east, and west, right?
Yes. If you have a proper working sunstone, then you will need a twilight board, which is a kind of sun compass, and a shadow stick, which can work instead of the shadow, which you will not see.
A twilight board is a sort of sundial, but instead of the sun's shadow showing time, it shows direction. When the sun is hidden, a so-called shadow stick is used instead. Based on the location of the sun as determined by the sunstone, the shadow stick can then be used to calculate direction.
Have any twilight boards or sun compasses or shadow sticks ever been found?
There is one artifact which was found about 60 years ago in Greenland, and the reconstructions tell us that it might have been a twilight board.
This artifact may be a clue, a device that worked with the sunstone, but can it be proven?
Has anybody taken a piece of calcite and tried to construct these items and tested them out on the open seas to see if they can be used to navigate?
I have never heard that anybody has actually tested it on the sea.
Incredibly, we could be the first to test this on the water and prove that we can actually use the crystal to navigate. This is the break I've been searching for. But how do I get a twilight board?
If we're going to do the sunstone experiment, not only do I need a stone, looks like I need these other components, this twilight board and this shadow stick. So for that, I'm going to need to find some Viking craftsmen, I guess?
I know just the place. Jan Bill at the Viking Museum in Oslo told me about an amazing woodworker named Geira. I'm told that he's also a student of the ancient Viking way of life. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I can't wait to find out. And I'm in Game of Thrones. My quest to discover the truth about the Viking sunstone myth has brought me to Oslo, Norway. I'm looking for a craftsman named Geira to help me build a Viking twilight board and test whether the sunstone can really be used to navigate in the open seas. I'm told I'll find him here. And I'm in Game of Thrones. This is Norway.
Oh boy.
As it existed 1,000 years ago. Here in the midst of modern Europe, this community of people are preserving the Viking way of life. The weapons are real. the construction of the hall historically perfect, and dinner is bloody and sizzling. Even the children are living the part. At the center of it all is this extremely intimidating man, Gaira.
This guy looks friendly.
Since I stick out like a sore thumb, it isn't long before I have to explain myself.
Hello.
Hello. Are you a friend or enemy?
Oh, a friend, an unarmed friend.
Hello.
Very nice to meet you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Yes. You look incredible.
In England, they describe the Vikings. They was tall, they was bearded, they have long blonde hair.
Yes.
They was the terror from the north.
Yes, you're just describing yourself right now.
Okay. About.
So to help me unravel the mystery of the Sunstone, I wanted to come to like a real Viking, as close to a Viking as I could get. Do you believe in it? Do you think it was really used by the Vikings?
Since they have described it in our saga, I think it's they use it.
So what's your advice? What do I need to do to understand this Sunstone?
I think you must be more Viking in your soul.
Oh, I have to become a Viking?
Come on, Viking.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I feel a little bit out of place here.
Yes. But maybe I can offer you some better clothes.
I guess if I'm going to ask Gaira to make me a Twilight board, I can't exactly turn down his request to give me a makeover. Also, he's sort of terrifying. So, let's try this entrance one more time. I feel ridiculous, but I'm hoping the locals approve. Otherwise, I sense they're going to throw me in the fire.
Helt utrolig bra!
Yeah! I'm in?
You are in?
Yes! Yes!
Welcome!
Thank you very much.
And now, here you have the horn. And we say give horn or skull.
Skull!
Skull!
Oh.
You think it tastes good?
Yeah, I don't know. Yes.
Yes, yes.
It tastes sort of good. Yes, it tastes sort of good. Yes. Now what happens?
We go outside.
Outside the hall, life carries on much as it did in the Viking Age. And before I can get down to business, I'm being invited to learn how to handle myself in battle.
Okay, so this is Viking Archery 101.
Yes.
You are my teacher?
Yes.
What is your name?
Erika.
Erika.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. What do I do?
Yes, you put your... on this side?
Yes.
Left side?
Yes.
And you raise your bow like this. Mm-hmm. Elbow like this.
All right. Come on. All right, that was very intimidating and a little bit sexy. Here we go.
Very good.
I'm on the board.
Very good.
I'm on the board. Is it the size of the bow?
No, it's the lower limb is a little bit stiffer than the upper.
So it's not the size of the bow, it's the stiffness.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. Good.
Better?
With playtime over, it's time to see if Gaira can help me with my mission to recreate an authentic Viking Twilight board and shadow stick from Dr. Balash's diagrams.
You are obviously skilled with woodworking, yes?
Yes. It's fully possible.
Yes.
And I will make it of the best wood I have.
Gaira gets to work and quickly proves that Vikings aren't just lethal. They're really talented.
Let me see. How about that?
Less than an hour later, he's brought the diagrams to life.
It's really good. I mean, it's a perfect match. We will take your craftsmanship and the sunstone,
yes,
and we'll see if we can make it work.
Yes, we do.
Gaira may have just created the missing piece of the sunstone puzzle. Now all that's left to do is test it out. And lucky for me, his woodworking skills involve Viking designs that are bigger than a wooden compass.
When you said you had a boat, I didn't picture this.
This is my boat.
This is a perfect replica of the Oseberg ship that I saw in the Viking Museum. It is a masterpiece of historical construction, and the perfect vessel to test out whether the sunstone can be used to navigate.
How are you?
Hello, Josh. Nice to see you.
Yes, good to see you again.
Are you sure you want to go out?
Yes,
now?
I'm sure. If there was ever a day when we needed a sunstone to work, this is it.
It will be a big challenge if you look at the weather.
Well, we will do our best. A huge challenge is why we're here. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's hit the high seas.
Once we board the vessel, we cast off from the dock and begin to raise the sail, which on an ancient boat turns out to be something of a team effort. With the sail unfurled, we're underway. The weather is bad. The boat is a design that predates the horse and plow. But this is the moment. Will the sunstone reveal its mystical qualities? Or are we about to be lost at sea? I'm off the coast of Norway on an authentic Viking vessel, wearing authentic Viking clothes, hanging out with a bunch of dudes that I'm pretty sure are actual Vikings. This is the moment we've been waiting for. The weather is bad and getting worse, and navigating here without a compass seems an impossible challenge.
All right, here is the sunstone. So let's talk about what's been done to the stone here.
You have two slits now. Uh-huh. You have to look through this slit, and you will see two images.
I do. When I look through this, I see a double image of the slit on the backside.
Exactly. If you find the position where the two just seems the equal, then your arrow will show you which way the sun is. Let's hope it will work.
Right.
By holding up the crystal in the haze, the double image of the slit appears. One side darker, one lighter. But by rotating the crystal, they should match. When they do, the arrow should point to the sun.
You ready?
Well, I'm really excited.
Sunstone, here we come.
I scan the sky in an attempt to find the spot where the two images on the far side of the crystal appear the same. The differences are subtle, and I'm not having an easy time making it work. But then, I find it.
There.
Okay, remember the way, which way the arrow is showing this?
The arrow is pointing this way, so this is telling me, if this is working, that the sun is somewhere this way.
It's okay, just look for another point and do the same.
The idea is to do the experiment twice, using the intersection of the two arrow lines to find the exact position of the sun.
Try to not drop the sunstone in the sea. There, right there, right there. That's equal.
Now try to estimate the intersection.
Okay. The first estimation was pointing this way. The second estimation was pointing this way.
Okay, so just follow those lines and try to say where the sun is.
Sun should be here.
With the sun possibly located, we break out the twilight board and shadow stick to take a measurement.
I don't really know how to use it, so now I really need your help.
Okay, you think the sun should be there, so you basically aim that point at the position of the sun.
Got
which
it.
You have measured with the sunstone.
And then the compass underneath should become accurate.
Yes, that's the idea.
So in order to test that, we need a real compass.
Yes.
Do you have a real compass?
Yeah.
Let's see how we did here. What do you think?
I think it will work.
Yeah.
Because
You made it.
Yes, of course.
Balázs takes a bearing with his magnetic compass, something not in use in the Viking Age. The test now is to see how well my compass, which is nothing more than a crystal and a piece of wood, compares.
Here, let's line it up. It works!
It works.
That is unbelievable.
The bearings are nearly identical. This is the first successful test on the water that proves the sunstone is real.
That's almost a perfect match.
Well, I'm amazed.
North, north. It lines up almost exactly.
It's amazing.
This is a device that potentially could have been in use hundreds of years before the magnetic compass was being used in Europe.
Yes. Because if you have no alternative, then, well, it's pretty good.
Viking sunstone. Check.
Maybe we could sail out to Greenland now.
Oh, you think so? You're feeling confident?
Oh, of course.
Okay, to Greenland, guys. Let's go. Let's get this thing in gear. Come on.
Yes.
And like gazing through the crystal, I now see things here in a different light. The Vikings' reputation for violence and brutality may be well earned, but they were also fiercely clever engineers and mariners, and more artistically accomplished than we've given them credit for. And while the sunstone may have given the Vikings an edge, there's something in the cultural DNA of Norway that's also undeniable. The spirit that made the Vikings so dominant has carried forward in time, to polar explorers and adventurers, to fishing villages and offshore modern marvels. Their sagas speak of a magic sunstone, and we now know that the legend is true. But the real magic is the ingenuity of the Vikings themselves, who turned simple materials into a powerful tool to conquer the seas.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.